And I titled this Called by God, Used by God, Living for God, and Blessed by God. And that's just a real short summary of the book of Ruth. I was blessed myself by spending so much time in this book and really looking at it in detail. And my prayer is that you will be blessed and that perhaps even encouraged by the Holy Spirit speaking to you, perhaps convicted and a conviction that leads to change, and then reminded of God's strength in your life. We can live for His glory because of Him, not because of who we are. So, a little bit of background on Ruth. It's a book sandwiched between Judges and the Samuels, probably written in the latter part of Judges. And when I read about it, it could be an appendix to the book of Judges because of the history that it contains, but it also seems to serve as an introduction to the Samuels because we'll end it with the genealogy of David. So this is a little bit about the book. We're going to try to go through all four chapters, and I apologize right now if we don't get through it, but we're going to give it a good shot, and we'll get through as much as God allows. So chapter one. Chapter one is really centered on Ruth's faithfulness. And verses 1-5 kind of give us a little bit of the setting of this book, like what's happening here. And just quickly, we have some characters to look at. So we have Elimelech, we have his wife Naomi, and we have their sons. And I don't speak Greek, so I'll give it a shot, but no promises. And we have their sons, Mahlon, I think it is, Mahlon, and what's the other guy? Chilion. So they live in Judah, in Palestine, and it's a time of famine. So Elimelech decides to move his family, his wife and the two sons, to east of Palestine, which is Moab. So this is what's happened so far. They get to Moab, and Elimelech dies. So now, here's Naomi with her two sons. Her two sons end up marrying two Moabite women. And Mahlon marries Ruth, and Chilion marries Orpah. I want to say Oprah, right? It's Orpah. So that's kind of the characters that we're looking at. And something else happens here that's important. It's about a span of 10 years when they move there, and then Elimelech dies, and then the sons die. There's kind of a lot of bad stuff going on here, right? Okay, not luck, because this is God's providence, but so now the two sons die. Here we have Naomi, Ruth, and Orpah. Three women, a mother-in-law, and her two daughter-in-laws, alone. Now, we have to understand something that happens. In this culture, at that time, the women were extremely dependent on the men for support. So we have a problem. Naomi hears that the famine has ended in Palestine. So her decision is, I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back to the people I know. I'm going to go back to my land because that's my best chance of support as a widow. And she encourages her two young daughter-in-laws to go back to their families in Moab because that would be their best chances of support and of finding husbands so that they can have families if that's what God wills. And you all know this story. They both argue at first. Ruth and Orpah both say, no, we don't want to do that. And then Orpah concedes. She decides to go back to her family. But Ruth decides to stay with Naomi. Before we continue, it's really important for us to remember something. When we look at Ruth's character, or any of the examples that we have in Scripture, it's only because of God's abundant grace that his children respond to his call. We personally can take no credit for this. We are absolutely able to live for his glory, not because of our efforts, but because the effect of our salvation from God is great. And that's important for us to look at. So verses 1 through 5 give us background in chapter 1. Verses 6 through 15 continue on with our story. I'm not going to read the whole thing because we'll never get through it. So now we're picking it up where Naomi has decided to return to Bethlehem, right? We're given a picture of Ruth's faithfulness, and we're going to concentrate on Ruth's character to Naomi when she clung to Naomi rather than following the footsteps of Orpah in going back to her family. So Ruth's faithfulness is first seen in service to her family, to her mother-in-law. Now, this gets my daughter off the hook, because I'm not her mother-in-law, but my daughter-in-law, did you hear that? I like this. Okay, so listen to this. We're going to pick it up in verse 16. Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you, for where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God." Something's happening here. And Ruth's faithfulness is demonstrated in her obedience to God's call. God has called her heart, and right here she chooses to obey. Ruth's intention to leave behind her country and to completely adopt the ways of Naomi's people is sincere, and we see that because this is what she's going to do. There's no doubt that her conversion at this point is complete, and we can have confidence of this because of her actions that follow. Ruth's faithfulness is proven as she surrenders everything. Consider this. We have no written record of Ruth's immediate reaction to her own loss of a husband. But this is what has happened. The concentration, though, is not on that. We have no indication of her lamenting or bemoaning her situation, although it must be quite difficult. Instead, what we do have is a story of Ruth's steadfastness and resolve to follow what she has come to believe is truth, to follow the God of Israel. This is a great example, isn't it, for each of us? And it should speak to our hearts wherever God has chosen to place our lives. We're all in different circumstances, some of them hard, some of them easy. But to be able to just choose to be steadfast in our relationship with God and faithful in that is what we have in Ruth as our example. There's no indulgence in sorrow for what may have been or what might be or what we would like to see happen. So although we can assume Ruth must have felt pain and sorrow in her husband's death and her change of direction, her difficult circumstances are not her focus. Instead, we're going to see her willingness to work hard, to remain faithful, and to serve. Ruth's faithfulness is exercised in her steadfast resolve. Take a moment and think about how this might be applied to your own life, wherever you are. Ruth was willing to go to a strange country, not knowing what additional difficulties might be present. You can certainly see that it would have been easier for Ruth to stay with what was familiar, right? To stay where she had family, where she knew people. But that's not where her direction was. Her focus was on following the God of Israel who had touched her heart. Ruth completely throws out the idolatry that was practiced in Moab. Moab was known for their heathen gods. They were looked down upon, okay? She completely threw that out in order to worship and serve the one true God. Listen to Paul's words in Philippians 3:8. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. This is Ruth's heart also. So we have questions. I have written down some questions for you to consider later. But just think about them as we go through Ruth on your own. Think how you might be able to apply some of these truths. Have we renounced all things in our lives that are not pleasing to God in order to follow Him completely? Are we willing to leave all things behind? Are we willing to move forward in obedience to Him even when there are known difficulties ahead? Like step forward into what might be hard, because it's what God wants us to do. So in verse 16, we saw Ruth's conversion to the God of Israel. In verse 17, we read of her commitment to follow what she believed. Ruth 1, 17 through 18, she says, "Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you and me." So she's resolved, she's made her decision, and she follows Naomi. In the book of Acts, Luke wrote this, "But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself in order that I may finish my course. And the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God." We know from the next few verses in chapter 1 that Ruth did follow Naomi to her hometown. And something important for us to remember here is it was the beginning of the barley harvest. So in chapter 1, we get a picture of Ruth's faithfulness. And it's seen in her servants, in her service, her obedience, her surrender, and her action. I wonder how our commitment to God is seen in our own personal journey. And we're going to move right on to chapter 2. Chapter 2 gives us a picture of Ruth's humility. And a new character is introduced right at the beginning of chapter 2, Boaz. Now, you've heard of him. His description is significant. He's a kinsman of Naomi's husband, Elimelech. In other words, Boaz is a relative of Naomi's by marriage. He's described as a man of great wealth, but this may not be exactly what you think. Certainly, there were the resources of wealth, but it also meant he was a man of power, virtue, and strength. This is an important man. He's a well-known man in the area. In Ruth 2:2, chapter 2, verse 2, the character of Ruth's humility shines as she asks if she might glean in a barley field in order to provide for Naomi and herself. In fact, it says, "Please let me go." This is Ruth. These are Ruth's words. "Please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I may find favor." Now, I wouldn't suggest any of you do this. If we just go and find someone's garden and start helping ourselves, it may not go well. Okay? But in that time, It was actually Jewish law to intentionally leave some grain behind for the less fortunate. It was a common way for the poor people to find food. They would follow along behind the reapers, and they would pick up what was left to rot on the ground. So it was a circumstance that was expected in those days. In fact, we see that. We see the command to do this in Leviticus and in Deuteronomy. And you can look up, I can give you those verses. Leviticus 19, 9 through 10, and Deuteronomy 24, 19. These are commands that say, when you reap your harvest, leave some behind, so that the less fortunate might be able to gather. So this is what's happening. You know, when we read about Ruth right now in this scenario of what's happened in her life and being in a foreign land, we see that her commitment to her mother-in-law was really astounding. Right? Did you hear that, Julia? Actually, I'm blessed with wonderful daughter-in-laws. I don't plan on you caring for me, though, unless it's God's will. Anyways, she was willing to go to great lengths to provide for her mother-in-law. She went into a stranger's field where harvest was taking place, hoping to get permission to gather food for herself and Naomi. Ruth's humility is seen in her willingness to do whatever was necessary. Her example to pursue that which was new to her and perhaps even uncomfortable is a shining star in her time of hardship. Are we willing to do whatever God requires of us, even if it's uncomfortable? It's easy for us to walk away from those things that make us feel uncomfortable or that we're unsure of or uncertain of. Are we willing to walk forward into those areas? One commentator says, she was neither ashamed to confess her poverty, nor would she eat the bread of idleness. Another commentary says this, Ruth shows herself to be prudent and diligent and a virtuous woman. Although the law permitted the poor and the stranger to glean, Ruth looked upon this opportunity, hear this carefully, not as a right, but as a favor. She was willing to acknowledge the kindness of those who would allow her to gather what was left behind. Wow. Ruth didn't look upon any advantage as a right that was owed to her. We do not find in her an attitude of deservedness. She recognized opportunities as favors extended towards her. Ruth's humility is evident through her attitude. Verse 3 in chapter 2 says, so she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz. Remember Boaz? He was of the family of Elimelech, her late father-in-law. Now, how fun is that? Right? Is it so cool to watch God work? God's providence, the guardianship, control, and manifestation of his foresight to care for his children. Do you see it? Ruth happens to go to a part of the field that belonged to Boaz. God has his hand in all aspects of our lives, each one of us. He knows all the details. Even the things that seemingly may be insignificant to us, he has his hand on. He orders circumstances for our good and for his glory. And he's a rewarder to those who follow him. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is,
and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So in chapter 2, we're given a little more information about Boaz, not just that he's a relative here, but also his kindness shown to those who work for him. So although we're concentrating on Ruth in this study, it's good for us to recognize a little bit of Boaz's character. He took the time to acknowledge those in employment of him, and he also prays blessing upon them from Jehovah. In verses 4 through 7, it says, "Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, 'May the Lord be with you.' And they said to him, 'May the Lord bless you.'" This was a greeting of blessing and goodwill, and he took the time to acknowledge the people that worked for him. Boaz also asked his reaper about Ruth, and she was introduced as the woman from Moab who had returned with Naomi. People knew Naomi, right? So they're getting an idea of who Ruth is, probably asking questions. It seems plausible that the history of who Ruth is and her faithfulness to follow her mother-in-law and work in the fields to provide food has been made known. So here's Boaz's interaction with Ruth in verses 8 through 9 of chapter 2. He says, "Listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw." So we see his kindness and his care. Moving forward in verse 10, we continue to see evidence of Ruth's humble heart. Rather than grumble about her position, which none of us have ever done, she's surprised at the kindness shown towards her, and she had expected nothing. Don't you think sometimes we grumble because we've expected something that doesn't happen? Maybe. Ruth 10 says, "Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, 'Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?'" Wow. Ruth's humility. She fell on her face. This is an expression of not just humility, but respect and gratitude. It signifies an understanding of one's lowly position and submission to another. Ruth's humility shines in her heart of thankfulness. A heart of thankfulness is produced from a humble heart. We saw the same posture in the Bible when Joseph's brothers, if you remember this, they come before him during the famine, right? And we see the same thing. In Genesis 42:6, it says, "They bowed down to him with their faces to the ground." Same idea. Also, when the Magi came to worship Jesus, they fell down and worshiped him, a position of humility. Notice the testimony of God's care for Ruth so far in what we've covered. She has a good reputation. He has seen to that. She'd left the land of her birth to accompany Naomi and embrace her God. And this did not go unnoticed. Ruth's sacrifices to care for Naomi are rewarded with kind words from Boaz. Remember, Ruth left all behind to follow after the God that she had come to believe in. Psalm 37, 5 through 6 says, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he will do it." And he will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. And Jesus' words in Luke 18:29-30. Truly I say to you, there was no one who has left house, nor wife, or brothers, or parents, or children, for the sake of the kingdom of God, who shall not receive many times as much at this time and in the age to come, eternal life. So we read an example of faith that leaves all to follow God. We also saw this in Abraham. Remember, Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. That's in Hebrews, just in faith, right? This commentator says, Ruth had renounced the idols of Moab and become the worshiper and servant of the God of Israel. In proof of her sincerity, she had left the land of her nativity, where she might have expected a comfortable settlement, and her parents, who it seems were still living, as well as her other relations and friends, to come to a people with whom she had had no previous acquaintance, but against whom she had been educated in prejudice and enmity, just as those in Palestine looked upon the Moabites poorly because they served heathen gods, those in Moabite looked upon Palestine, right? So there was that enmity, and that's a hard word to say. Okay, so here's Ruth. She attached herself to a poor widow that she would help to maintain. This she had done because she believed that Jehovah was the only true God and Israel his people. Therefore, she desired to be associated with them and to have the benefit of the ordinances and instructions with which they were favored, their teaching. Ruth 2:12 says, may the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. This is Boaz's blessing on Ruth. And just on a side here, as we read that scripture, we have to ask ourselves, where do we seek refuge? Is it under the shadow of the Almighty's wings? We're familiar with that metaphor. When danger's present, we're covered by God's protection. When storms rage, we have shelter in his care. When circumstances are uncertain, we can trust in him, just as we see Ruth doing. Psalm 91:4 says, he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. So we have Boaz blessing Ruth, desiring that the Lord, he says, that he desires the Lord to reward Ruth's work and that her wages be full from the Lord. Do you notice that this concentration are rewards that come from following God more than the compensation on earth? Riches in heaven are eternal. A heart of humility produces an attitude of faithfulness. You know, Jesus died and suffered, not in differing amounts, depending upon our number and severity of sin. Each of us has sin in our lives that demands a perfect sacrifice, Christ's suffering and death on the cross. There is not one better than another whom Jesus died for. His suffering was not more or less needed, depending on how serious our transgressions are. We're all 100% guilty and 100% in need. I encourage you, if you have never bowed before Jesus as Lord and as Savior, Lord meaning He is the one that you are living for. Savior meaning you recognize you need Him. You cannot do this on your own. In fact, our destination is hell if we don't accept His sacrifice. Ruth is a good example to each of us to remember who we are, where we've come from, and where we are going. All because of Jesus, only because of Jesus. A heart of humility produces an attitude of thankfulness, an attitude of gratitude. Do we see ourselves as we truly are, in great need and dependent upon our Savior, Jesus Christ? Ruth chapter 2, 14 through 16, Boaz recognizes Ruth and speaks to her. He says, "Come here that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." So she sat beside the reapers and he served her roasted grain. Something that's important here that I read in a commentary suggests that the phrase "she sat beside the reapers" may be translated that she did not sit with them, but continued to keep her distance even from the hired reapers as she sat, a little ways off from them. Ruth was certainly not pretentious in thinking she deserved something. Even when given a personal invitation from Boaz to join them, she's hesitant, showing by her actions that she considers herself a bit inferior. This is a heart of humility. I'm going to skip some of this because we will not finish. So we're going to move down to Ruth 2:17, which says, "She gleaned in the field until evening." Ruth's humility is unmistakable in her dedication to hard work. Oh, right? Did I have to say that? But you know, in addition to working from morning to evening, she also completed the job well. I don't know. You know what I think of? The unfinished things I have. Right? Why is this important? Again, we go back to the favor that's been extended to her. She takes this seriously. Ruth took care to use the consideration she'd been given. She appreciated her opportunity and took the time to use it to its fullest extent, not being careless for what was given to her, but treating it with value. Her humility is evident in her hard work and in her careful work. So in chapter 1, we saw a picture of commitment in following God, even when circumstances were desperate. In this second chapter, there's hope as Ruth learns to trust God, and we read of His abundant provision for her. We see Ruth's humility as she accepts Naomi's advice and Boaz's kindness towards her. What happens here, she goes back and she reports. Ruth reports to Naomi. Naomi says to her, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his maids, lest others fall upon you in the field." So she stayed close by the maids of Boaz in order to glean until the end of the harvest. The end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. So this isn't like a 1 or 2 day thing here going on. And she lived with her mother-in-law. Well, you know what that meant? Living with your mother-in-law. Okay. Right? Okay. Well, you want to go there, do it. What I want to talk about, though, if I can find it in my notes here, living with her mother-in-law means that she attended to the responsibilities that God had given her. Ruth's humility lends herself to accepting the advice and kindness of others. So she accepted Naomi's advice. Naomi knew better what Jewish law was than Ruth did, right? And then she accepted Boaz's kindness as he said, stay with my maids, hang out with them, and reap. Right? Glean from the field. Question, do we neglect our responsibilities in lieu of pleasure and enjoyment? You know, I'd rather do this so that doesn't get done. Ruth's humble heart is used by God as we see his plan unfold in her life. Her humility is seen through her willingness to do what is necessary, even though it was uncomfortable. Her humility is shown in her attitude of thankfulness and her dedication to hard work. Ruth's humble heart is represented in accepting the advice and kindness of others. We move quickly to chapter 3 and look at Ruth's model of trust in God as she lives for him. She followed Naomi's direction even when she didn't fully understand, and she paid careful attention to details. I think we have time to do this really quick because this is amazing as we read this. Let me find this. Here's Naomi's advice to Ruth. And now is not Boaz our kinsman with whose maid you were? Behold, he winnows barley at the threshing floor tonight. Wash yourself, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your best clothes, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go and uncover his feet and lie down, and then he will tell you what you should do. Weird. And Ruth responded to Naomi, all that you say, I will do. Wow. Trust. Right? Don't try this. Different culture, different time. But you can imagine if this were done today. Okay? But this instruction was not uncommon then. So Ruth does what Naomi says. Her trust manifests itself through her obedience. Obedience to God is more important than pleasing herself. It's more important than maybe having a complete understanding of what God's requiring her to do. Ruth's devotion to God by following Naomi's direction to seek out Boaz is evident. Just below this, down in this chapter here, Ruth is called a woman of excellence from Boaz. She's virtuous. And I just want to read this definition. I think we're kind of out of time here. Of being a virtuous woman. It's being morally excellent, having the quality of doing what is right and avoiding what is wrong. Isn't that great? Beautiful definition. You have a few more blanks, I'm afraid. Patience is a product of trusting that God has the best plan and direction for our lives. That's one of your blanks. And I think what we'll do is just quickly, I'm going to skip through some stuff. Chapter 4, Ruth is blessed and God is glorified. Ruth's faith is rewarded as the unfolding of God's plan is revealed. Trusting God always leads to our blessing. More important, his glory. So Ruth was called by God, she was used by God, she lived for God, and she was blessed by God, all for his glory. Ruth was the great-grandmother of King David. Isn't that fun? Pretty cool. And Ruth, it's more than just a story. It's an example for us to follow. So I pray each of us is blessed. I'm sorry, I apologize. I went kind of fast through there. But doing a book in 40 minutes, really hard. Let me pray for